Good morning. My name is Donald. I'm associate pastor here at First Alliance Church, and it is my privilege to share with you today a word from our Lord. And my prayer is that you will be encouraged as you understand more and more and more and more about who you are in Christ. And for those who have not yet come to know him, my prayer for you is that before you leave this church building, that you will have come to know him as well. And to begin a journey of joy on this earth as you move toward your eternal presence with him. It doesn't get any better than that. I say often I'm doing better than I deserve. But I've learned to add to that, I'm not doing as well as I'm going to be. And what I mean by that is that when I'm in his presence forever and ever and ever, I am going to be far, far better than I am now. And so I praise God for that truth, that which the Lord has done for us. And I pray that you will be blessed as you are on your journey. When I was a child, my family attended a Baptist church. And there were some other churches that were a part of other denominations, and they often referred to themselves as the Holiness Church or sometimes the Sanctified Church. And what I didn't realize at that time was that anyone who is in Christ Jesus is sanctified. Let me say that again. Anyone who is in Christ has been sanctified, and if you're not in Christ, you've not been sanctified. And so it makes no difference what we call ourselves. Christ is the one and the only one who makes the difference. And so you who are in Christ, you have been sanctified, and we're talking about that today. And so we praise God because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bring us unto himself. And we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and we have been placed into the kingdom of Christ. If you're not in the kingdom of Christ, then you're still in the kingdom of darkness. And you have another king that you're answering to, whether you realize it or not. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we deal with this a little bit further as we get into the lesson. And so my question to you today is, have you claimed God's gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ? You may be saying that I have professed to have received the gift of salvation, but I've committed so many sins that I sometimes wonder if I'm saved. I don't feel saved. I don't deserve salvation. But if you're at that particular point, I don't deserve salvation, may I congratulate you? No, don't be proud of this. But A.W. Tozer said that any person who seriously believes he deserves hell probably won't go there. And the person, on the other hand, who thinks he deserves to go to heaven will not enter that blessed place. Because salvation is a gift, and so is sanctification. And we don't deserve God's gift of salvation, but praise God, because of his mercy and his grace, he's given us his gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is the reason we can celebrate, we can praise God for what he has done for us. The name of our denomination is the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And the fourfold gospel of Christ as Savior, sanctified healer, and coming King is the heart of our existence and our living. Sanctification, as it relates to both our being in Christ And the process of becoming like Christ is part of our DNA. Let me say that again. Sanctification, both as being in Christ and as part of becoming like Christ, a heart, or the heart of our existence. And so we can praise God because as we look at who we are and whose we are, and when we talk about sanctification, we come to realize that this is not something that we take pride in because we didn't accomplish it. It is all because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. As our Savior, Christ has taken our sins away and brought salvation to us by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. And that was in payment, full payment, for our sins. The scripture says in Hebrews 9:22 that without the shedding of blood is no forgiveness. And many of us sometimes don't remember, or we sometimes forget, that that's really what it boils down to. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. When you read the book of Leviticus, especially in the first five chapters, you will realize that it says over and over and over again, when a sin has been committed, the priest makes an atonement for the sinner, and then the scripture says, and he is forgiven. In other words, the justice of God says that before God can forgive our sins, something has to happen. A life must be given, a sinless life, a purely sinless life must be given in exchange for the sins that we have committed. And we know that the sacrificial system pointed to the true one who would redeem us from our sins. And so when God forgives, he forgives not just because he's a pretty good God, but he gives because his justice has been satisfied. Are you with me? He forgives our sins because the penalty for those sins has been paid. God's holiness requires that a penalty be paid for every sin. And we praise God because Jesus Christ came to give his life in payment for our sins. And saints, this is why we can celebrate. Not because we're good, not because we were good last week, not because we committed less sins last week than we did the week before. No, we can celebrate because we are in Christ. And that Christ has purchased our redemption in full. He paid it all. We sing about it. We talk about it. But sometimes we forget about it in those dark moments. That what he has done is complete. Now, when you think in terms of sanctification, if Jesus Christ has not sanctified you, then you are not sanctified. That's pure and simple. There are many who are religious, and as a result of the religion, can do some wonderful things. That religious people can give money to the poor, give money to charitable organizations. Religious people can stop doing some terrible things, like maybe stop cheating on your wife. But just the fact that you do certain things or don't do certain things does not necessarily make you saved. Are you with me? In order for you to be saved, something new, supernatural, has to happen in your life. When Nicodemus went to Jesus and he started off, we know that God is with you because no bad man can do the things you're doing except God is with him. And Jesus just cut to the chase. Look, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Do not marvel at this, Nicodemus. You must be born again. And so the fact that you stop getting drunk, the fact that you stop going to places that you ought not to go, those things don't necessarily mean that something supernatural has happened. In order for you to come into a relationship with the God of the universe, something supernatural has to happen, and it's called being born again. And ladies and gentlemen, that goes hand in hand with being sanctified. Are you with me? You and I cannot give birth to ourselves. That can only happen by the power of our God. To give you a further example, Jesus talks in Luke 18 about two men who went to the temple to pray. And one, a Pharisee, who was so very religious, "Lord, I thank you that I am not like other men are, adulterers and fornicators and all kinds of things," he names. And as a matter of fact, "Lord, when you got me, you hit the jackpot. You know, you outdid yourself when you got me. You see, I, not only those things, I even fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I have." And Jesus said, "That man left that temple unjustified. Lord, I think you, I'm so good, I can't stand myself." And I can see God said, "I can't stand you either." You know, "You're too good for me." It's not what we do, it's what Christ has done for us. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? I'm talking about sanctification from what the Bible means. And so we cannot depend on our own self, our own wisdom. Even you remember, and something that ought to scare us all, especially preachers, Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, about many in that day will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name, did we not do wonderful works?" And Jesus says, "Depart." He says, "I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you." They never came into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, doing all of these wonderful religious things. They were never sanctified. They were never set apart from the world unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only in Christ that we are made presentable unto God. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Backing up to verse 9, we find these words, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." Supernatural, the Holy Spirit has to take up residence in our lives. The latter part of that says, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ," who is the Holy Spirit, may I say, I'm adding that, "does not belong to him." And so what are we talking about today? Sanctification. Sanctification in the New Testament comes from, and hopefully, may I have a slide for that, please? I believe there's one. The Greek noun, hagiosmos, speaks of purification. It speaks of the state of being holy. You know, oftentimes people say, "Well, are you saved?" And the answer, "Oh, yes, I'm saved." "Are you holy?" "Oh, no." "You're not?" Then you don't belong to Jesus. Again, I remind us, I'm not talking about something that we accomplish. I'm talking about something that Christ alone is able to do for us and in us, if you will. And so it speaks of purification. It speaks of a state of being holy. The Greek verb pronounced hagiazo means to set apart, to consecrate, to devote, to purify, to make holy. And so when Jesus came to save us, he came to sanctify us. He came to make us holy. He came to make us presentable to the Father. So sanctification is that relationship with God into which men enter by faith in Christ. This, again, is not attained by human effort. It is not what you and I do. Salvation, as we know very well, is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, plus nothing. And who accomplished that? Only Christ. Christ is our Savior. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9 really carries us through that, and I think that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because it reminds me of where I was and what Christ has done for me to make me who I am. But Paul is writing to the people of Ephesus, the church, the Christ followers at Ephesus, and he's writing to them in verse 1 of chapter 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints, hagios, who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. And so he is addressing them as saints. He's addressing them as those who have been set apart from the world unto God. And he says they're saints. But then when we get to chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the minds, and were by nature children of wrath, that is, children who deserve the wrath of God like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, picking up at verse 5, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace, God's unmerited, undeserved favor, you have been saved. And raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We cannot boast about our salvation, nor can we boast about our sanctification. This is the work of the Lord himself. So Christ is indeed our sanctifier. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father. And he says, sanctify, there's that word hagiazo, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate, that's the English Standard Version, other versions say, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So Jesus sanctifies himself so that you and I may be sanctified in truth, in him. And when we look at this, we really begin to understand more and more and more that our sanctification is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul was on trial and he was talking, making his case, his defense before King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26, he's recounting how he came to know Jesus. He's recounting his conversion experience before Agrippa. And so in Acts 26, verse 12, he says, in this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. In other words, he was on his way to arrest people who were professing to know Jesus, or to be followers of Jesus. And then in verse 13, he says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" Continue with verse 15. "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Paul's mission was to preach the message of salvation, but underlying that was the sanctification of those who would respond in faith unto the gospel message. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, "And because of him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So that, as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.'" So again, all boast is in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so our sanctification has been purchased by Jesus. When we go to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8. "When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law,' then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Continue with verse 11. "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified." And so our victory is in Christ. So if we confess our sins, we know, we have the confidence that God forgives us our sins because we are in Christ, because of what Christ himself has done for us. And so we have become saints of God because of Jesus Christ. But not only have we become saints, which is speaking of our positional sanctification, there is something called progressive sanctification. And so we grow to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we do this? First of all, it is a matter of remembering who we are and relying upon the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. That's the beginning. This is not, again, something that you can boast about. So I think we need to back up and make sure that we understand one thing. We have a responsibility in this matter. This responsibility, first of all, is to recognize who we are, but also to recognize whose we are. We are in Christ Jesus. I can safely say that I'm saved, I'm safe, and I'm secure in Christ Jesus. But I also realize that that does not give me a license to go out and live according to the flesh. To live the way the world lives, the way I used to live, it does not give me a license to do that. But it also reminds me that my ability to live unto the Lord depends on my reliance upon the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me because Christ is in me. Are you with me? So we have positional sanctification, but that is followed by progressive sanctification, which is a process which continues throughout our earthly lives in which we are being gradually conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. This progressive sanctification necessitates the yieldedness of the saints to the power of the Holy Spirit in order to experience what it means to live as a child of God. Again, I remind us, this calls for us to remember who we are and whose we are. I think about the times the Apostle Paul called the saints to remember who they are. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. And what is that high price? The blood of Jesus Christ. And so remembering who we are and whose we are helps us to come to the realization, okay, I do not have to obey the flesh anymore. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And by his power, I can live in a way that honors the Lord. We are called to live out the reality of who we are in Christ. And we can only do that in the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Many of us can quote Romans 8:28. And we know that God works all things together for good to them that love God. But you know there's something else in there? To those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he called, he also justified. For whom he justified, you know, it goes on and on. You are sanctified by the calling of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we quote this passage, Romans 8:28, let us think about, and we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? To be in Christ and for God to be glorified in us. Is it good to think in terms of, well, you know, I need this, I need that? That's good. We are supposed to depend upon God. I'm about to laugh at myself. I have this device up here. It's called a cell phone. And I use the cell phone for a lot of different things. But one of the things I use the cell phone for here in the pulpit is not to make phone calls or to receive calls or to watch my text come in. But I have a timer in on here that tells me how long I've been standing up here preaching. And you know what? Invariably, I forget to look at it. So it tells me that I need to wrap this up. So allow me to wrap this up. So, you are in Christ, and Christ brought you unto the Father, and something happened when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were born again. And so now that you're in Christ, now that your whole agenda has changed, everything has changed. Your perspective around you, but not only your perspective, but your manner of living has changed. And so we've come to depend not on our own wisdom, not on our own power, but we've come to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim the free gift of forgiveness, free gift of salvation because of Christ. And we also claim sanctification because of Christ. We live not on our own wisdom, not on our own power. And when we live in our own power, we fail time after time after time after time because it is not our power. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit who's working in us. And because of that, we learn to rely upon Him and not upon our own wisdom and our own power. And with that, I just want to stop and engage you in a few minutes of reflection and prayer. My first question is, have you claimed Christ's free gift of salvation? And along with that, knowing that something supernatural happened, have you also claimed sanctification in Him? Have you claimed Christ's free gift of salvation? But have you also claimed the sanctification, and I'm talking about the positional sanctification now, that comes automatically with being in Christ? You've been set apart from the world unto the Lord, only by His power. Lord God, I pray that You would move in our hearts, though, that as we go through our daily living, that we will reflect upon throughout the day the reality of who we are in Christ and the reality of whose we are in Christ and the reality that being in Christ means that we are being led by the Spirit of Christ. And we know, Father, that the Spirit of Christ desires nothing but to honor You, Father. And because His Spirit dwells in us, that means that we too also have a power, not our own, but the power of the Holy Spirit, to honor You in our living. So, Lord, I pray that You will help us to not be defeated by thinking that we cannot. Yes, we cannot within our own wisdom and power, but rather You have given us the power to live, not unto ourselves, but unto the Lord Jesus. May Christ be exalted in us. The next one, are you relying on Christ's shed blood alone for your sanctification? By His one sacrifice for sin, we have been sanctified forever, forever, because He shed His blood for us. Take a moment. And for the third and last one, some may be struggling with recurring sins and they are just breaking your heart. And you feel that you just can't overcome. You struggle day in and day out. You find yourself saying, Lord, please forgive me for that sin that I committed. I know I asked You the same thing yesterday and the day before that, but Lord, I'm struggling here and I'm asking that You would just forgive me. If you're at that point, it's time to realize that deliverance is in and through Jesus Christ. There was one who prayed this prayer in Romans 7. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?
Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And right after that, in Romans 8:1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ." No condemnation. I'm going to make this statement, and I know that the Holy Spirit in you will not allow you to misinterpret what I'm saying. You are a child of God. And the Word of God says that nothing in your past, nothing in your presence, nothing in your future that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Absolutely nothing. If you are saved, your faults and your failures will break your heart because you know they're breaking his heart. Yes, that is true. That is true. But understand this. I'm not talking about living a life of practicing sin. The scripture says that those who are in Christ cannot practice sin. But it doesn't say that you can't commit a sin deed. And the scripture says that when you do sin, confess it. Confess it. And the Word of God says he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. But it also says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you are God's child through Jesus Christ. Nothing will ever change that. And I'm confident in saying that the Holy Spirit in you will not allow you to rest and recline in that to the point that you say, okay, I can go out and do anything I want, or to do like some people, I'm going to do this. Just I know I'm going to go to confession and I'm going to confess it. No, 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 no. That's not the life in Christ. You are saved and you are sanctified in Christ. And you are saved and you are sanctified by Christ.